I hope everyone has had a good week. I hope everyone has experienced God this week, and what a wonderful moment it would have been. I pray for you, something that you would even be willing to share. You know, you always have your testimony, and I pray that you're being allowed opportunity to share that as well. But this morning, we're going to talk about working on ourselves a little bit more as we continue to look at this passage in Proverbs. So I'm going to ask that you turn with me to Proverbs chapter 6, and we're going to begin reading in verse number 16. If you will, please stand with me in honor of God's word this morning. Proverbs 6, beginning in verse 16. These six things the Lord hates. Yes, seven are an abomination to him. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, and feet that are swift in running to evil, a false witness who speaks lies, and one who sows discord among brethren. Father, thank you again for this day. Thank you for your blessings. Thank you for grace and mercy upon our lives. Lord, thank you for the testimony of hope that we have in you. The good news of life, even greater than we can even begin to imagine. Lord, you haven't revealed it all to us. But one day, Father, we shall see and we shall be with others who have come before us and come alongside of us. And Lord, we ask for strengthening today. We ask for our testimony to be strong and our witness to be true. And we ask it to your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Be seated, please. We have been looking at these aspects of living and these things that God just simply hates and has made known to us through his words that these are abominations. And abominations are things that have grown into an ugly state of being, not what they were intended to be, but what they have become because of what we have done with it. How many of us know what a proud look is? How many of us can distinguish a proud look from a happy look? At what point does a happy look become a proud look? You see, and it's transitioning from things that should be good and wholesome in our lives that we take and grow them into things that become abominations or offenses, assaults even against others when we begin to think more proudly of ourselves and less of others. And God says we are all his creation. We should love one another. As he has loved us, so we should love one another. By that, people will know we are his disciples and not our own disciple. And these things we have to look at in our lives constantly and remind ourselves what it is we must work on. We have talked about a few of these. This morning I'm pointing to the wickedness of the heart. And a verse that I referred to last week, I'm going to begin with again today. I want to remind you, Jesus tells us in Matthew 15, out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, and adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. And we know that it comes from within the heart. So how are these seeds getting in there? How do we have these things growing in our life? You know, if I could define wickedness for you and use the biblical examples provided from the front to the back, this is what I would tell you wickedness is. Excuse me. Wickedness is a seed that grows desires within us, and it pushes our minds to think of thoughts and of things we should have when we really don't need them. And it keeps pushing until it's more than a thought. It pushes until it becomes an action or even a lifestyle. And then when it's mature, wickedness becomes the willful disregard for truth and honor and virtue. And it stands in the face of God and says, I don't care what you think. I'm going to do what I want to do. This is wickedness. How many of us would dare stand in the presence of God and say such a thing to God? This is who I am. This is who I'm going to be. And I don't care what you have to say. Because the world is doing that. People are doing that every day. And every day that we defile ourselves, we are standing in the presence of God and basically doing the same things, aren't we? We're not sinning in error without knowing what we're doing when we participate in things we know that are wrong. It's not, well, I made a mistake. You sinned, and it was willful, and it was deliberate, and it was a choice. And the heart pushed you, and its desires giving you things in your mind to think about that you said, oh, I've got to have it. You didn't need it. Why did you have to have it? Why did you need it? But how many of us can see that looking back? I didn't need that. Why did I have to do that? Why did I have to say that? Why did I have to become that? You know, it's a struggle, isn't it? Life. And fighting the good fight. God calls us to fight the good fight. I like that point that was made this morning. I refer to here in the Sunday school class. We're not called to be perfect, but we are called to strive. How many of you know what that means? We get the I'm not perfect part. But how many of us get that we're called to strive part? Because a lot of times when it comes to striving, we just pack it up and sit down. And wherever the wheelbarrow is pushing us, that's where we go. Y'all ride in wheelbarrows, don't you? You know what I'm talking about. Well, who's got the handles on them things? Who's pushing it? And do you trust who's behind you? We have to ask ourselves these questions. We have to challenge ourselves every day. And when wickedness is in its state of maturity, how great an abomination it must look. You know, we have plenty of examples in Scripture to tell us what God sees in the lives of men, in His creation, and the actions that He has taken. How many of you remember Noah? And the words, it says in Genesis chapter 6, that the Lord saw the wickedness of man, that it was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil, continually. Heart. Y'all got it, right? The heart. It's the heart. I told you last week. I've told you before. The heart of the problem is a problem with the heart. And God saw every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil. And it was continuous, nonstop, evil, 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 evil. And the Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth. And he was grieved in his heart. In his heart. And God talked with Moses and he told him what was coming. He said, I want you to build an ark. And the writer in Hebrews tells us that Noah, not knowing the things that God was speaking about, still trusted God enough, and in faith he built the ark, preparing for what he didn't know, but it wasn't going to be good. Because God said it wasn't going to be good. And so Noah prepared the ark, and then the floods came, and people were mocking Noah the whole time he's building this ark, and people are, can you see it? How many of you have ever seen people mocking things of God, or mocking churches, or mocking ministries, because they don't understand the work of God? They don't understand the Spirit of God, and it's moving. They don't understand that it's moving and working for them, but they are filled with wickedness, and they just can't see it. And they push it away, and they laugh at it, until the door is closed and the floods sweep you away. And it's too late. It's too late. What do you do then? I mean, what a tragic thing this flood was in Texas not too long ago, just a few weeks ago, and the water rose, what was it, nearly 30 feet in less than an hour, sweeping these children and these people away. They had no way to get to escape or to even know that it was coming. It was just upon them. And wickedness is going to bring that kind of destruction on those who can't see, who refuse, who reject God, because their heart is filled with wickedness. Because their heart is continually wanting and striving to live a wicked life. How many of you remember Sodom and Gomorrah? But the men of Sodom were exceedingly wicked and sinful against the Lord. And God said, I'm going to go down. I'm going to see this place. You remember he had that conversation with Abraham. Abraham was talking with him, he said, but if you find so many righteous, will you spare them? And he walked it on down until he got to just a few. But when the angels got there to Sodom and Gomorrah, they were so wicked, they wanted to attack and to have their way with the angels. And they touched their eyes so that they couldn't even find their way in the door of the home. And they escaped, and Sodom and Gomorrah were destroyed, utterly destroyed, because of wickedness that was rampant within the city walls. You've got Noah and a whole world of people who are just living their life day after day, given unto drink and unto marriage as if nothing was ever going to change. Sodom and Gomorrah, living their lives every day, chasing their hearts and its wicked desires, and even to the point that they would assault strangers who come into their city. We have a word for us in these last days that we live. Paul's writing to Timothy. He says, preach the word. Now, before we go any further, Noah preached the word, and the people wouldn't listen. The city of Sodom and Gomorrah, they wouldn't hear the cries to leave and to let it go, to step away. They had to have what they wanted. And they were destroyed. And in our world today, if we preach the word of God, we are going to preach things that the world does not want to hear. And Paul says, be ready in season and out of season. Convince and rebuke and exhort. But do it with all long suffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. They will reject the word of God for whatever the world offers in its philosophies and in its science. They will walk away from God because someone has told them a lie about God and said, God loves you and he made you this way and you should be happy to live in the life that you have and show the world all the rainbow colors of your life. What a lie! What a lie that is! Don't we understand yet that God has given us his word and he has told us that there are things that will not be excused? And judgment is coming, and with judgment comes wrath. And with wrath comes destruction. And it will come upon them fast. And it will come upon them completely. And none will escape. And by the way, if you haven't ever looked at the progression of events when God's wrath begins to pour out on this world as given to us in the book of Revelation, if you're afraid of those kinds of things, don't read it. But if you're really afraid of it, read it, because you know you don't have to experience it, because you're giving your life to Christ and you're fighting against this life that is filled with wickedness, and you are striving to be what God wants you to be. You are walking away from sin. You are walking away from the world. You are walking with God and into eternal life. And those days when they come will not be for you. Let your fear guide you to be what God needs you to be and is calling you to be. First, forgiven through the blood of Jesus Christ. And saved through him alone, because there is no other name given under heaven by which we must be saved than Jesus Christ alone. There is no name greater than the name of Jesus. I wonder if the Lord is looking upon us today and he had a word for us, would he say this? The Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord was sorry because he had given his creation, his son, and they only walked away. What a sad statement that would be for any one of us to have to confess as being our life. I thought it was a good story some of the times, but you know, I just didn't ring with me. Just didn't ring. You're not going to hear a bell. But if you're part of the family of Christ, you'll hear a trumpet. And in a twinkling of an eye, we shall be changed. All of us gathered with Christ in the heavens. But time is running out. And wickedness is rampant. How many of you look at the world today and say, what a wonderful, righteous place we live? I have never seen such righteousness in my life. I don't dare anyone to say that, and to say it with an honest heart. Because if you feel that way, in all honesty, we need to talk. We need to sit down. Help me see what's righteous about this place. Even the prophets have said in the Old Testament, there's not one of us who is righteous. Not one. And yet Christ has come. He has loved us. Even with the wickedness that fills our heart, he has said, I will never leave you, nor forsake you, nor abandon you. So you know when the trumpet sounds, we're going. Because he has given us his word. And God is not like a man that he should lie. You know, I think one reason why men lie is because they know they can't do something, but they're going to make you think they can. But when God says something, he will do it. His word will be done. Who's going to stop him? Who's going to keep him from saving his children? Who's going to pluck them from his hand? No one. And greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. We must learn to see wickedness the way God sees it and to feel the brokenness that God has felt over it so that we can reach those who are still mocking, who are still unbelieving, who are still celebrating their sin. But we must be careful because we are sheep among wolves. You know that, right? But God is with us. And a final word. Paul writes to the Romans. He says, the night is far spent and the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let the truth of Jesus Christ shine through us because he's in us and the light of his truth is in us. Let our witness tell the world, Jesus lives. And because he lives, I live. But you have to begin by walking in faith. You have to confess Jesus Christ. You have to repent. You have to trust. And then you just move into hope and joy. And you face the world one step at a time. Because once you leave the world and join God's team, the world's not going to like you anymore. It's just not. But don't worry. God's got you in his hands, and he always will. Do you know Jesus as Lord and Savior today? Have you made that profession? Have you taken that step in faith? I'm asking you to do it today. God has given so freely for you to have this hope in him. Don't leave it. Don't walk away from it. Find it. Secure it. And be at peace with God today while there's time. Father, I thank you so much for this day. I thank you for your blessings. I thank you for grace and mercy. And Lord, I thank you for forgiveness and plead for continued forgiveness. For the seeds of wickedness that have been cast into our lives and their roots that will not die even though they've been cut. Lord, strengthen us against these things and against the evil one. And help us, we pray, to honor you in all things, in all ways, and in every day as you have honored us. Lord, we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Will you come while there's time?